Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Do you have any animal friends? Maybe you have a dog or cat that you really love. Or maybe there's a rabbit or bird in your backyard you see pretty often. You could even have a favorite animal at your local zoo. There are so many amazing creatures out there, and to me, it's always exciting to become friends with an animal. Today's guest has a very special animal friend. In fact, his animal friend is one of my favorite animals, a giant panda. Pandas are awesome, but they're also endangered, which means that there aren't very many of them left in the wild. Obviously, we want there to be plenty of pandas in the world, so humans are working to support panda populations. Today's guest is one of those human panda helpers, and I think he might have the best job ever.
One thing that I think people are really surprised by is how smart pandas are. But a panda is, in my experience, smarter than most dogs I've ever met. They can pick up training really quickly.
This is Jake Owens. He's a conservation biologist, which means that he helps endangered animals both out in the wild and in zoos. For 5 years, he lived in Sichuan Province, China, where he worked closely with the beloved giant pandas at the Chengdu Research Center, also known as Panda Base. The researchers at Panda Base were really good at caring for baby pandas who were safe and healthy in captivity. Their next challenge was seeing if they could introduce those human-assisted pandas into the wild.
For us at the Panda Base, we were really interested in repopulating really small populations in the wild that will likely go extinct unless we put new genetics and new individuals there. For any reintroduction program, one of the most important factors is how can you monitor them after they go out into the wild? Because you don't know if they're successful or not if you can't monitor them. You don't know what challenges they might be facing. And especially where giant pandas live, it's really challenging. I mean, I've worked all over the world, and the most challenging habitat I've worked in was really dense bamboo habitats where pandas live. Even the GPS collars that are super expensive and they've got all this technology, if they get down into a valley, you can't find them. The signal doesn't get out. And so how do you track the challenges that they're facing, their health and all these things, if you can't actually go out there and get close to them?
Keeping track of the pandas once they're out in the wild is quite the challenge. Luckily, the Panda Base researchers had an idea.
The answer was, if we can get these pandas to really trust a few people and maintain that relationship over time, then they'd be able to take blood samples. We'd be able to change GPS collars or fix them if they needed, or make them larger when the panda grows. We'd also be able to make detailed observations up close.
If the pandas knew and trusted the researchers, then the researchers could continue to help, even once the pandas were living in the wild. That's how Jake became one of the main caretakers of a little panda named Chen Chen.
So Chen Chen, working with her, was a real interesting challenge because, you know, if I was in with her when she was a cub, she's 6 months old, and she was kind of playing with me, chewing on my hand or running around, if somebody else came up and touched me, or maybe another panda came up and tried to sit on me, she would then bite me hard, and she would bite that panda hard or go after that other person because she was really determined and she would get kind of possessive over this interaction.
Chen Chen knew that Jake was her person, and I guess she wasn't going to let anyone else mess with him. That's one of the risks of playing around with a bear.
One of the things that we found out really early on was that it's better to get playfully bitten by a cub that weighs 20 pounds and for it to learn that that's not cool to do than for it to learn when it's older. So if we're working with a panda that's a cub and it's biting you, its repercussions for hurting you is that I walk away and I don't play with it or interact with it. We don't go on a walk. You know, I basically discontinue the play. So if a cub comes up and it's biting you, the best thing you can do to teach it that that's not a good behavior is to walk away, leave the enclosure until they calm down. You come in, you do that enough, and they really do get the hint that it's not good to bite you.
In addition to training the pandas not to bite, Jake also had to teach Chen Chen special skills that would help them continue their relationship once she was out in the wild.
We needed to train Chen Chen how to sit so that we could collect blood from her in the field. We figured if we could have her sit there and hold onto a branch or a pole and put her arm out in a certain way that was safe for the workers, then that would be a really big advantage. And so it only took me twice to really get her to sit down and sit back in the proper way, just with a piece of apple as a reward. And then I tried it again without doing a hand movement, you know, kind of pushing your hand with the apple over her head to make her go backwards. And that third time without the hand movement, I just said, sit, and she did it. And then a few weeks later, I tried again without any hand movement, and she did it instantly. And so they can be really intelligent.
Soon, Chen Chen was ready to live in the wild all by herself. Even though she'd been raised by humans, Chen Chen was pretty independent.
With Chen Chen, I would go out with a radio receiver, because she has a radio collar and GPS collar on, and I'd be able to find where she is in this really dense forest. And I would call to her. She would take a long time to come out of the forest. Once I stopped being a day-to-day worker, I started working in the office more, and I'd come out maybe once a month. It would take me 45 minutes for her to come out because she knew who I was, but it was something different and the circumstances were different. And so it would take a really long time to coax her out. And as soon as she was done, taking blood or changing GPS collar, she would run back into the forest.
Even if Chen Chen was content living on her own, she still remembered her connection to Jake, and that allowed for the researchers to keep track of her life in the wild. One day, when Jake was visiting his home in the United States, he got a call from Xiaobi, one of the other researchers. Xiaobi said that Chen Chen was in trouble.
He said she's injured and she's up a tree and we're not sure if she's still alive. And it really obviously hit hard on all of us. But I just told him, until you confirm anything, don't lose hope.
As Jake raced to get on a plane and travel back to the panda base, Xiaobi and the other researchers found Chen Chen and tried to figure out what was going on.
The local field guys were saying, oh, she's dead. She had sustained injuries and she went up a tree and she wasn't moving. And so they just thought that she was dead because she wasn't moving. She was like 70 feet up. And so they built a little ladder out of sticks, branches that they found, and they tied a rope around Xiaobi's waist and looped it around a branch, and he climbed up. He's deathly afraid of heights, and he climbs up this tree and goes up, and she opens her eyes.
Thank goodness Chen Chen was alive.
She had a cut on her finger and a cut kind of on her cheek and on her back. And she'd been up the tree for several days, so she wasn't really getting the nutrients as she needed. So Xiaobi went up and brought, bowls of water with some honey for energy and some medicine for antibiotics and electrolytes up and gave that to her.
Soon Jake arrived at the scene, and he and Xiaobi worked together to help Chen Chen.
Xiaobi and I, with a handful of local reserve workers and some other panda base workers, stayed out there until she recovered enough that we could bring her back. She slowly recovered while we were out there, and it got to the point where she was down on the ground. She had enough help that our vets were confident that she would be okay. And so we brought her back to the enclosure, and she healed up over the next few weeks and has been doing great ever since.
The panda researchers were able to save Chen Chen.
She made it through, and I really do credit the fact that we had a relationship with her, the fact that we were able to give her medicine and get her to come out of the tree on her own just by talking with her. That was really, I think, essential to rescuing her.
Today, Chen Chen is living in a panda sanctuary where she gets to enjoy her own independence while also being close to human helpers. Jake says that one day she might go back to living in the wild.
She's healthy. She's super smart. I personally think that she's got a much better set of experiences that'll help her if she's able to go out into the wild. And I personally hope for her and for giant panda population as a whole that she'll be able to go out into Daxingling and that the project will continue and contribute to the wider effort by a lot of other organizations to save giant pandas.
Jake's personal relationship with Chen Chen not only saved her life, but it also paved the way for other pandas to go through the same process. Jake's life was filled with wonder as he worked up close with Chen Chen and other giant pandas.
I've seen some of the most amazing things, and I've been able to work with giant pandas, and it's just amazing. My life's been absolutely fantastic.
Jake and Chen Chen teach us that our friendships with animals can really matter. So enjoy your animal friends and know that when you care for them and they care for you, wonderful things can happen.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to rescuing incredible animals, including panda bears. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called To Rescue an Animal, You've Got to Think Like One. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.